Now, welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. Very tense night tonight in Las Vegas. We are hearing reports that two people are dead, at least 24 others hospitalized in the wake of a mass shooting Sunday night at the Mandalay Bay Hotel and Resort on the Las Vegas Strip. We are monitoring this story tonight. Las Vegas police are reporting that one shooter, we don't know if there are more than one, but one shooter is down. That's what they're saying. One shooter is down. iHeart's Senior Vice President of News, Chris Berry, with me. Chris, ironically, just left Las Vegas today. He's now in Phoenix, but he's monitoring this story for us. Chris, what are you picking up these days?
You know, I was there earlier today, George, and pretty much what you have just talked about. When a situation, it seems like when a situation like this happens, and this is obviously a major news story that's developing, a lot of times people now have the ability through social media to spread information that may not be true. And so there are things out there that people are talking about. What we know for sure is that, as you said, one suspect is down. We believe that he probably is dead. We know that he was on a very an upper level at the Mandalay Bay Hotel. Now, this is on the south end of the Las Vegas Strip, directly across the street from McCarran International Airport. And there was a music festival that was going on there, a country music festival. And it appears as though the two who unfortunately were killed, the 24 who were wounded, were at that music festival. Shortly after it happened, there were some things on Twitter and social media about events happening at their hotels along the Las Vegas Strip. It appears as though those reports are inaccurate. We have not been able to confirm anything along those lines. It appears as though this suspect was a single person who was doing the shooting, although obviously the Las Vegas police is still in, the police are still investigating that. But they did go up to this upper level. It was either on the 31st or 32nd floor of this high-rise hotel building, a kind of a luxury hotel. That hotel has the Mandalay Bay, which is a well-known hotel resort that's been open for probably about 15 to 18 years now. The upper probably 6 to 8 floors are actually a Ritz-Carlton hotel. You walk in, there's an elevator. It takes you right up to the Ritz-Carlton. I don't know if this particular incident happened in the Ritz-Carlton area or in the Mandalay Bay. It's in the same actual structure, but it was up very high. From all reports that we're getting, there were many, many rounds that were fired. Obviously, with 24 people being wounded, 2 being dead, he probably had a high-powered rifle of some sort and a scope, but the reports are that, you know, he has been neutralized.
Ironically, Chris, today, Sunday, of course, we had a terrorist episode with a U-Haul truck in Edmonton, Canada. 5 people injured there, including a police officer. Then in France, 2 women were stabbed to death at a train depot, and the suspect was shot to death yelling, Allahu Akbar. ISIS has been warning over the last several months that Las Vegas could be a target. It's been a story that we've had, and I hope to God that's not the case tonight. I would prefer that this be a lone gunman with a severe mental issue, but we will find out.
We will. And, you know, as you mentioned earlier, I was right down there by that festival earlier, just a few hours ago, really. And I was thinking to myself, you know, the Las Vegas Strip, for any of your listeners who've been there, it's so different during the day than it is at night. That particular area where there it really hasn't been built up. I mean, this is like on the south end of the Strip. There is a convention center down there, and there are big lots because directly across from the airport. In fact, that's the area where they're going to build the new NFL stadium is right there. So, you know, it's kind of a big vacant lot, good place to have a concert, but evidently it gave this sniper excellent view down to these, you know, thousands of people who gathered for the concert.
And a high-powered rifle, no doubt, is automatic based on the witness reports of gunfire.
And George, right now I'm just being given some information that says that of those 24 that have been wounded, it looks as though 12 of them are in critical condition.
Oh.
So, you know, the hospitals there in Las Vegas, you can imagine right now the triage that's going on, the emergency room doctors, the nurses who probably come in to deal with this mass shooting. And, you know, they prepare for these kinds of things, but certainly when it happens, it, you know, it really is trying for those first responders and then also the medical people who have to deal with it.
Chris, we'll be checking in with you if the situation warrants it tonight. Thank you so much.
Okay, George.
Chris Berry, Senior Vice President of News for iHeart. We will be back in a moment. Leslie Bank joins us, former police officer, by the way, as we talk about channeling spirits, and we will continue to monitor and update you on this tragedy in Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm George Norrie. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, as you just heard from Senior Vice President Chris Berry, 24 injured, 12 of them critical, two dead in this mass shooting in Las Vegas near the Mandalay Bay Hotel and Resort, as so many people were congregated listening to a country western music festival when all this tragedy occurred around 10:20 p.m. tonight, Las Vegas time, Pacific time. And we'll monitor that situation throughout the night for you. Leslie Bank is our special guest. Her book, The Receptivity Project. Leslie retired from the Baltimore Police Department as a lieutenant after serving for nearly 25 years, works as a security consultant, graduated from Johns Hopkins University with a master's degree in science, a Reiki master. Leslie has channeled spirits for about 5 years, beginning with an extraordinary experience with the spirit realm while meditating. We'll talk with her about that. She believes that if she can make this profound connection, others willing can do the same. Leslie, this is going to be a wild ride tonight, but thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, George. I understand.
I want to tap into your police brain for just a moment. Sure. With situations like this, with a shooter that was in a high rise, and apparently they've got that person, how quickly can police react to something like that?
Well, I've never been to Vegas, so I have an idea of how big those buildings are, but they're gonna want to evacuate the building, and then once the building's evacuated, they're gonna clear it, and that's a really painstakingly slow process once he stopped firing. So that situation is going to be ongoing for a while.
And you really don't know at that time if it was one or two or three shooters, do you?
You can't assume it's just one. I'm sure that I heard one is down. Is what?
Yeah, that's what we think.
You just have to clear the building anyway.
A security guard was shot, apparently just was on that same floor that the shooter was, or shooters, and just a sad, tragic story.
It's terrible. I just want to send my prayers out to all affected by that.
Leslie, it's almost impossible to defend something like this, isn't it?
It's hard to imagine how you can just shoot down innocent people that you don't even know or have anything no beef with. I mean, most of the shootings I saw in Baltimore.
I mean, I've been to Vegas before, and you can walk in these doors of these beautiful hotels with your suitcase. You could have anything in that suitcase. Nobody checks.
It's pretty wide open there then. Well, they might reconsider that after the shooting.
I think so, too. I really do. They should be luggage going into the building should go to a detective.
Right now into a more a less accessible buildings.
I think so,
schools
too.
Schools and everything.
Anyways, tell me, how did a Baltimore police officer, lieutenant, get involved in dealing with channeling spirits and in areas like that?
Well, everybody has that. I believe I've always gotten messages, but I didn't know the origin. I'm pretty grounded, so I assumed that they were my imagination. I would hear things or just know things about people. But during a meditation session, I meditate, and I believe it was 08, so it's been a little longer than 5 years now. I had a pretty extraordinary experience where I was visited by a high-level guide, and my life was just never the same after that. And it was kind of a hard time for me because I really couldn't even tell anyone about it. It was so extraordinary, but none of my friends would understand. So I had to It took me a few years to grapple with that, but I've come to terms with the fact that this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Would your friends have laughed at you, or would they have said, oh, all right, all right?
You know, well, most of my friends at work were guys, and, you know, yeah, probably. I did tell a few really inner circle people, and, you know, they understood that that was my experience, but, of course, they hadn't had that experience. And since then, I've found friends that are doing that. So, you know, it's a little easier to talk to someone that has the same experience.
And you've called your book The Receptivity Project. Tell me about that.
Well, after I began channeling...
And by the way, thanks for picking a title I could just about pronounce.
I'm sorry. They really wanted me to write a book about it. And for a couple of years, I balked at that. You know, it's just not in concert with my work in the security field. It's actually juxtaposed to that. So I really hesitated, but they were like, we really want this information to get out there. You're the person that we want to be giving it out. And receptivity or reception is what they wanted in the title, and I just stuck project on at the end. And even the logo they assisted me with. So their main concern is that everyone's getting messages every day, but they want people to understand them.
You talk a lot about energy in the book and intuition as well. I was just talking with our previous guest about intuition, but tell me, I am sure you've used intuition as a police officer, haven't you?
Absolutely. In fact, you know, all officers use intuition. The best officers have spot-on intuition, but men don't call it intuition. They call it gut instinct or something a little more masculine. But men have just as much intuition as women do. I worked with one guy. We would be driving down the street, and he would just look at someone and say, that guy has a gun. I would look at him, and I'd think, how does this guy know he has a gun? He doesn't seem different to me.
Right.
So he would have a gun. This particular officer who rose up through the ranks got, more guns off the street than anyone in the whole department.
Now, would that be instinct or intuition for him?
I think he has intuition, but he doesn't even realize it because the command staff asked him, how are you doing this? And then he came up with some scientific method about the way they're walking and the way his arm he's holding his arm. And then people do weapon checks. Like if you have a gun in your waistband, you'll just tap it to see if it's still there and it's in the right position. So that is accurate, but I think he's highly intuitive, and he'd be so mad at me if I said his name on the radio.
Yeah, police officers are coming under fire lately for police-related shootings. And
yeah.
We are, Leslie, staunch supporters of police officers here.
Oh, thank you.
And I'm sure in any field you've got 99% great working people, and you've got a 1% that might not be. And,
absolutely.
And, you know, we really don't know. But I've got to tell you, the episodes that I've seen where police have been involved in shootings, if the perpetrator would just listen to the police officer, they're not going to get shot. But, I mean, if you reach for the gun or if you try to escape or, you know, you're in your car and you use it as a weapon, something's going to happen to you. And what I don't get is why these people who've been shot and killed, by and large, by police officers trying to do their job, why they do stuff like that. I mean, I don't think any police officer wakes up in the morning and says, I can't wait to go shoot somebody.
Oh, my God, no. I'm so grateful I never had that experience.
No, in the heat of the chase and everything else, we've heard some video recordings of officers. They get upset. They get into it. And I can understand that. A friend of mine trains police officers. His company's called Line of Duty.
Okay.
And they videotape scenarios, and then they send it out to departments all over the country. He's been doing that for 25 years.
Wow.
You know, he told me last week, he said, some of the video language he's heard of police officers involved in chases are pretty bad. He said, you can't air it on your radio show. But
yeah.
He said, but it happens, George, when they're, you know, they're tense, they're chasing, they're involved in that. So that's pretty normal, he said.
It is. There's a couple factors that you can't see on a video that exist. One is the adrenaline rush that you're talking about. The person could be on drugs. Sometimes it's obvious they're on drugs. Sometimes it's not obvious
mm-hmm.
that they're on drugs. They could have mental health issues. Once a cop becomes engaged in a high-intensity situation, his adrenaline kicks in, just like the suspect's adrenaline is kicked in. And then you develop what's called tunnel vision, where it's a survival technique that you just zero in on something and you really don't see anything in the periphery. And I've experienced tunnel vision, and it's kind of scary in retrospect that you weren't able to see other factors. You just zero in on that suspect and what he's doing, and you might not see like a backdrop of people where you can't shoot or. So these things, you know, people that aren't in the profession, I've seen some shootings that I question actually myself, but there's a lot more to it. It happens in like less than 5 seconds. And lives are ruined, like the suspect's life is over or ruined, and the officer's his life could be ruined as well.
I got a call from a police officer several years ago who was telling us a story that he and his partner had a call that they had to get to a house because of a heart attack victim. So they get to the house, and a little old man opens the door and lets them in, and they see another person lying on his stomach, obviously dead, and so they roll him over. And it's the little old man who let them in.
Oh.
I mean, unbelievable story how those things happen.
Yeah. Now, you see some weird stuff.
You are a believer in spirit guides, aren't you?
Yes, absolutely.
Tell me, have you tapped into them, or how did you come to this understanding?
Well, through speaking with spirits since 2008, I realized certain things about their world. I by no means understand everything about their world, but I do understand that there's like a hierarchy in the spirit world. And I talk about it in my book, and the first guide that you might meet is a peer guide. So that's someone, and that's the first person that I met, that's the first spirit that I met, someone that may have passed on that you knew in life or someone from a past life, but they're on your level. On your spirit level, evolutionary-wise. The next one would be an instructional guide. So an instructional guide might be assigned to you for a specific purpose or area of your life that you've struggled with. Like, let's say in past lives, you weren't able to meet this goal. So you build this into your program where you have an agreement with them that they're going to instruct you in this area. The next level would be the master level of guides that are more recognizable to most people, you know, the Blessed Mother, Buddha, Ganesha, who actually was one of my first guides I spoke to, which was so odd to me because I had to Google him. that's the it's a deity, a Hindu deity with the elephant head. Archangels in the Catholic religion, I've spoken to some of them, and I believe right between the archangels and God is Jesus, and that's why he says the way to the Father is through him, because he is the next, he's the next level down between the two. So that's the hierarchy that I've learned since I've been doing this.
Has it surprised you, you know, stumbling into this?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I always knew that we have past lives, and I always knew that there was something out there. But I was I considered myself more of a Buddhist than anything else. And this experience has completely changed my life. And once it began, I had a moment where I wanted to try and turn it off, like this is just too much. But once I opened up to it, it's been an amazing journey. And I want to help other people to open up to it as well.
Is it easy to help other people?
If they want to, it's not hard. I'm not trying to convince anyone that doesn't want to do this that they should do it, because everybody has their own personal choice. But it can make your life easier. You know, we're here. We're here over and over. We're not just here this life. So if there's things that you can hear from the other side that assist you with your objectives here, because your life is kind of like a college degree. So you design your life to fit your objectives, and then you put people in your life that can help you with those objectives. And some of those objectives, you put people in your life that you have great conflict and difficulty with, and they're actually helping you, is what I was told by Spirit. They're your teachers. Be grateful for them.
All right, stay with us. Leslie Bank with us. Her book is called The Receptivity Project. We're going to come back in a moment with your calls on Coast to Coast AM. Well, welcome back to Coast as we monitor the tragedy in Las Vegas tonight. Two people reportedly dead, 24 injured from a shooter near the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino during a country western festival that was being held outside. Las Vegas police say that the shooter is down and that they believe the shooter was the only one involved in this episode. So we'll continue to monitor that. They are going to have a news conference in about 10 minutes or so. We will pop in and join that too. We are with Leslie Bank talking about her new work, of course, called the Receptivity Project. And it's about, of course, meditation, intuition, and perhaps the other side. We'll be back with her in a moment. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, continuing to monitor the tragedy in Las Vegas tonight. Two people reportedly dead, 24 injured from a shooter at the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino. The shooter apparently was up above, shooting down at the crowd who was attending a country western special event. And Paul Velasquez was at the concert. He works at the Las Vegas cluster for iHeartRadio and media. Paul, I'm glad you're safe, but my gosh, tell us what was happening out there.
I'm in shock. So at first, I just want to go ahead and apologize, but I was at the Route 91 festival. I was watching Big and Rich, Jake Owens, and then Jason Aldean comes on, and Jason Aldean is a few songs in, and that's when I decide, you know what? It's a Sunday night. It's getting kind of late. I do have work in the morning. I'm going to start working my way towards the back of the crowd. I enjoy the show just for a little bit longer. I start working my way out. I go to the exit, and I get to the crosswalk, and the exit and the crosswalk, they're right next to each other. The police officers that were at the crosswalk were stopping the traffic so that we were able to cross. When that was happening, I was about halfway through when I hear these loud just pops, single fires, boom, boom, boom. And at first my initial thought was they almost sounded like fireworks, but I look over at the police officers, they look at each other, they look at the stage, I look at the stage, and then that's just when we just hear machine gun fire just going off and off and off. And from that point, I'm in the middle of the street, I run into the complimentary parking.
Yeah.
I get to my Jeep from, you know, as safely as I can. I get in there. I start going out the exit of complimentary parking. That's when I see just everyone just running, just scattering, just busting through the exit gates, through the other exit gates. I see people, I hear people screaming. I hear the ricochet. I heard a couple ricochet bullets, the machine gun firing still going off. I see these two young women on the side street that I turned on. I pulled over to them. When I asked, I rolled down the window and I asked, do you need a ride? And that's the exact same time they asked if they could hop in. They asked me for a ride. I said, hop in. They get into the Jeep. We make a right-hand turn onto another side street. We stopped for a second because they think they recognize their friends. They weren't their friends. It was just two other gentlemen that asked me the same thing. We pulled over. Are you guys okay? They said if they could hop in and get a ride. I said, of course, hop in. We make a turn onto Las Vegas Boulevard, heading southbound. We get to an outdoor mall called Town Square. That's where the gentleman asked to be dropped off. The ladies asked to be dropped off down a little bit further on Warm Springs and Las Vegas Boulevard. That's where they were going to meet up with their friends. I believe some were at the concert and some at were coming from their homes to make sure that they were okay.
And Paul, had you stayed there just a few more minutes longer, you would have been right in the middle of all that.
Yeah, no, I ended up calling my friends when I dropped off the ladies, and where I was standing, I found out, first of all, that my friends were okay, but where they were standing, a gentleman was shot in the chest right next to them, and they said that they had to hop the gates into the stage area and then go underneath the stage to crawl underneath the stage to get out to the back area.
Could you tell if the shots were coming from above, which is apparently what they're reporting right now?
To be honest with you, I was in such in disbelief. I don't know if they were coming from above, but I can say that they did sound that they were in a distance.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Because you could tell the difference between gunfire up close or gunfire that's far away.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah. I have my own weapon. I carry my own weapon at home. I have my own weapon at home, so I've gone multiple times shooting at gun ranges, and I could tell the difference.
Paul, if you can give us just, if you could vocalize it, the sound of the shots, how rapid were they?
They were just I'll try to vocalize it. The first shots that I heard sounded just like single fires, just boom, boom, boom. And then right after that, it just sounded like almost like if somebody was just cranking something. It was that fast. It was just like da 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 da. It was just one after another, one after another, one after another.
Well, let's hope to God they have just the shooter. They believe they have just one shooter, and they believe it may have only been one shooter now. Original reports, Paul, that there could have been two, three other shooters up there.
That's what I thought too, just because it was so much that I don't doubt that there could have been more than one.
All right, Paul, I'm glad you're okay, and stay out of harm's way, would you?
Yes, definitely.
Paul
Thank you.
Velasquez, he was at that concert in Las Vegas. He works for our Las Vegas radio cluster there, and thank God he's okay. But the two people reportedly dead, 24 others injured, 12 of them possibly critically. Let's go back to Leslie Bank. Leslie, again, thank you for giving us, sharing up some of your time for this tragedy
Absolutely.
that's out there.
Absolutely. I just wanted to say, listening to Paul talk, you know, that's exactly what I'm talking about. He's watching the main attraction. Two songs in, he's like, you know, I think I'll go home. I have to go to work. Where does that come from?
Where does that come from? That's right.
So his spirit guide saved him in that situation. I absolutely believe that. There's no coincidence in my mind that that was all scripted.
Well, and you wonder if somebody there had a dream, let's say last night, that something was going to happen, and they still went. Or I'd be interested to know if somebody had that kind of a dream and did not go because of it.
That would be amazing. I don't dreams aren't how I get information, but there are people that get premonitions through dreams, and hopefully they listen to them.
You have talked about, and we'll take calls in just a second here for you, Leslie, but you've talked about past lives in your book, and that past lives are meaningful to some people. Explain that to me.
Well, Einstein says that energy, this is a quote, energy cannot be created or destroyed, it can only be changed. So we are beings of energy. So where does our energy go when our body ceases to live? So it goes back, what I consider home, with other energies. And then you can decide once you get home, you get to review your life, what you could have done better, what you had successes at, and then you can devise a program for your next life. That's my personal belief, that we're only here to learn. We're not here to drive a Maserati or to have the corner office. We're here to learn lessons that we haven't learned in the past. So if you look at your past lives, you can see patterns where I blew it in that life, I blew it in this life, I blew it in that life, and now I'm trying to get it in this life. So I have some ideas of what that is for me, and based on some past life. All I did was ask to see some past lives, and I was shown them.
All right, let's go to David, first-time caller in Coheal, Oregon. Welcome to the program. Hi, David. Go ahead.
How you doing?
Good.
I
Thank
was just listening to you and your guest prior to the break, and I was listening to your law enforcement experience. I was in law enforcement for 15 years, and
Thank
I
you for
know
serving, David.
and know really what you know about, you know, about instinct and you know, the feeling of something that just by looking at somebody.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, I've been down that road many, many times, and
You have to listen to it, right? Because it's your state.
oh yes. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I always use the analogy that, you know, the small hairs on the back of our neck were there for a reason.
Right. Oh, I so know what you're talking about. Absolutely. Yeah.
I'm a big advocate of dreams. In fact, I mean, I've always tried to read my dreams. I've always, as far as instinct goes, I've always, you know, where you have an instinct, where I've always had instincts where, you know, like I'll just wait a little bit before I go here, or maybe turn left and not right. And, you know, most of the time I'm right, you know, in that
it
respect.
Kept you safe. Is that what you're saying? It kept you safe.
Yeah. And you know, you were talking about religions and stuff like that. I'm actually a practicing Buddhist. And
okay, we have a lot in common.
So, I mean, I believe that, you know, the way we live our lives is essentially we keep living until we get it right, I guess, to put it in layman's terms.
That's right.
Absolutely.
We keep coming. David, thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you, David.
How many lives can people have, reincarnated lives? Numerous, if they keep coming back learning, right?
I guess a bunch. I don't know everything. But, yeah, I would think many, many lives. And some people are newer souls, and some people are older souls. And I don't quite understand that, but I've been told that. I don't know how a new soul would develop. But, yeah, many times.
Do some of these guides ever try to trick you, Leslie, into doing something that you shouldn't do?
That's a great question. So if you open this door, you're opening yourself up to the whole spirit realm, and you have to understand that there's darker forces in the spirit realm as well. And until you learn to navigate, you may be influenced by a darker spirit that can try and convince you, you know, to do something or say something that's not correct. So they know what all our fears are, and I had that happen one time until I figured out that I was being duped. So now if I don't know the source of the information, like if I don't know where I'm getting it from, either through an energy signature from the guide or I see a face, I'll say, who's talking to me? And if I don't hear anything, I know it's someone that doesn't need to be talking to me. So that's how I discern.
Let's go to Rodney, truck driving in Nashville, Tennessee, east of the Rockies. Rodney, go ahead.
Hi, guys. I'm just curious about, oftentimes I'll look at the clock, and it'll be 9:11 in the morning. Then later that day, I'll see it again at 9:11 that night. It happens to me all the time, and it's always the numbers 911. You know, not only just on the clock, it can be in other places, but it stands out to me like it happens a lot.
For me, Rodney, it is 11:11. I see 11:11 almost all the time. In my Los Angeles studio, we have a huge digital clock. I'll put my head down, I'll look up, and it goes 11:11:11 with the seconds included in that. Have you ever had that happen to you, Leslie? You see a certain number all the time?
I do 11:11, but with Rodney, I was wondering, this could be off base, but is there an area of your life that is like an emergency that you need to take a look at?
That would be interesting to see if that was a possibility. And 9/11 being, of course, the emergency type numbers, right?
Yeah, that's what came to me. But, you know, of course, Rodney knows better because it's his life.
Now, back to these spirit guides for a second. How many do we have individually? One or many?
You know, I don't have an exact number. I've spoken to at least six.
Wow.
I think that some appear to you during different phases of your life. Like when I wrote the book, Archangel Gabriel, who's the messenger angel, was very influential when I wrote the book. But then when this book was complete, he kind of dropped off. So I think that was just his mission to help me with that. I know Carolyn Mace says that Teresa of Avila assisted her in writing one of her books, and that afterwards she didn't hear from her so much. So I think it's not uncommon. People just don't say it. It's not something that's publicly said. People are more private about it. But we all have guides. They're talking to you every day. Rodney's guide might be trying to get his attention. That could be what's happening. I don't know what his life is like, but maybe there's an area he needs to take another look at. But that's one of the ways that they communicate with us is repeat messages. sometimes it's a direct communication, sometimes it's just you get an image in your mind. And I can give you an example of that.
Sure.
I was in a meeting, I'm in the private sector now, and the woman that was chairing the meeting, she had a reputation for, she was somewhat cruel. She could be a bully to some of the team members, not to me, but to some other people. And generally wasn't what I consider a nice person. And she was wearing a beautiful diamond cross with just diamonds embedded in it. It was gorgeous. And I thought to myself, what does that mean to her? Because she doesn't seem to embody that in her outward life. And then I got a vision of Ravens Stadium, because I'm from Baltimore, and all the people in the stands wearing the Ravens jersey. And what I understood from that was, just because you're wearing the jersey doesn't mean you're in the game. And you understand?
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, there's a lot of people wearing the jersey not in the game, apparently.
Leslie, where do people get your book, The Receptivity Project?
They can find it on Amazon.com. It's also, there's a link on my website, receptivityproject.com. I can't say it either. And you can read a sample if you'd like, or buy the book.
I was able to get it out without any mistake on it.
Oh really? Did you get the book I sent you?
Yep.
Cool.
Absolutely.
Okay. I hope you're enjoying it.
I am. Absolutely. Well, good luck to you, Leslie. Appreciate it. We're going to continue with our update of the tragedy in Las Vegas with open lines next hour. All right? Open lines. If you are in the Las Vegas area, please do call in as well. We'll be checking updates, a news conference upcoming with the department, the Sheriff's Department out there in Las Vegas as well. To date, 2 dead, 24 injured, 12 critical. That could change.